Hey, this is Stelly FD, and this is another great holiday season episode. This is an episode that contains a lot of valuable advice for anyone working on a startup. You know, both Heaton and I firmly believe that understanding your customers is the key to building a successful business. I mean, if you've been listening to the Startup Shed for a long time, you know how many times we say the words, well, it depends on your customers. Well, it depends on who your customer is. Well, it depends on what your customer wants. Well, it depends on how your customer buys, right? You've heard us say this many, many times. And in this episode, we share some of our best tips to generate customer insights. Enjoy. Hey, everybody. This is Stelly FD.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to do a tips episode on how to stay close to your customer as your business grows.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Right? We want you to do your best.
We've talked about this many times with Heaton. Whoever understands that customer best ultimately will own that relationship and will get those customers. And, this was a big topic recently in our team. We just did a team retreat in Dublin, Heaton. And a big topic was customer intimacy. How can we stay closer and closer to our customers to serve them better, to understand them better, to get more insights? So why don't we just go back and forth on the tips and share ways that people can stay close to their customers and cultivate customer intimacy as they're, you know, building, launching, and growing their business.
Okay, I'm going to start by asking you a question.
Boom, let's go.
Okay, and this is kind of a tip, but it's like, when's the last time you got on a sales call yourself for Close.io?
That probably was 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Okay, cool. Great. So I think one tip I have is if you're doing sales and you have a sales team, as you know, executives, founders, CEOs, even like the marketer on the team, whatever, should just consider getting on a sales call, whether it's like to listen in or actually do the sale. That's my crazy idea to kick it off. And I'm glad you said 4 or 5 weeks ago and not like a year ago.
I love it. Yeah. And I feel even guilty saying that because I was like, I figured. I feel like I should do this more often. All right. But building on that tip, you know, I think there's a few functions in the team that are going to be really close to the customer, right? Sales calls gives you one type of insight. Usually you're talking to prospects, right? People that are not yet customers. You could do support. I just saw recently a tweet became really popular. It was showing a founder doing customer support, I think in email and on the phone, and a founder CEO. And then it was just some famous VC tweeted it. And it became a whole thing. But doing customer support, even if it's just like, you know, 1 week out of the month or 1 week out of the quarter or a day, could be super useful.
Yeah, for my first two products, I did customer support for the first 2 years.
There you go.
For most of that time, it was doing it myself. It's just because there's just nobody else on the teams to do it. It just wasn't their problem. And they were doing other stuff that was much more important than doing customer support. I was doing it. And that made it so that I was so close to the customer, we were able to iterate on that. And even at Crazy Egg, after those 2 years, my wife, Amy, does a lot for that company. She was just basically, literally, we built a lot of product just by looking at customer support and improving it based on what we heard. And then, you know, until we kind of built the team out and things like that. So I would say that, like, for me, customer support is key. I mean, right now, for any of the products that we have that are kind of at an earlier stage, it's literally the founders doing support. We don't have a support team. We don't outsource it anywhere. And we just do it. So I can't highlight what you said enough. I know that tweet that was shared, I retweeted it too, was out there, but like, I almost like started laughing. I actually literally laughed my ass off when I saw the tweet. 'Cause I'm like, wait, this like should be something everybody does. I don't understand why this tweet's so popular.
Yeah, it's because they don't. Yeah, for us, when we launched Close, the first year, basically everybody was doing support. We were a team of 6 people, and we all had accounts on our support desk software, and we all would go in there and answer tickets at all times. And then as support started ramping up, one of the three co-founders, Anthony, basically became the first full-time person on support. And he, for 3 or 4 years, was like full-time doing support as one of the founders. And he built the support team. And just this year, he kind of got, was pushed out of support and is now just going in there, occasionally, like we all do. But for the first 3.5-4 years, one of the founders was doing full-time support. And so being super, super close to the customers that way, I mean, doing support regularly, just a super powerful way to hear the pain points of your customers, to understand how they truly feel about your product once they've been using it for a while. So it's a super important thing to understanding your customers. And outsourcing support is something that just I will never understand. Like, why would you want to take this amazing thing that gets you really, really close to your customers and give it to a stranger and then lose out on all that relationship building, lose out on all that understanding, lose out on all the ideas on how to improve your product? Like, that just seems crazy to me. All right. So, but in the vein of going back and forth, another thing I'll point out, another thing you should be doing, I've said this many, many times, and I'll keep saying it, visiting your customers, right? Spending time with your customers in person. There's three flavors. Two we've tried out a lot this year, and a third one we're just about to test and try out. One is you can go and visit your customers, especially if it's B2B, you can just go to their office and visit them. There's nothing more powerful than that. Like, there's nothing more powerful than visiting your customer in their natural habitat, seeing how they use your product. See, and there's also something incredibly gratifying. I was just in London and we visited a big customer, and walking to a room full of screens where there's 50, 60 people, and seeing your software on all these screens, I don't know, but there's something uniquely gratifying and fulfilling about that. That you can't get by just looking at a dashboard with like X amount of users using your product today. So even just seeing your software out in the wild being used by real people just can be a big boost for motivation and inspiration. But like talking to these users, hearing about their problems, seeing what other software they're using on their computer setups, talking to management and asking, learning about their growth goals and how your software is going to help them or hinder them. Like, there's so much insight, so much context when you visit customers. It's just, it's one of the most powerful ways to develop intimacy. On top of that, one thing we've started doing this year and it's been very, very successful is doing customer meetups. Right, so we visit a bunch of customers, but then we'll throw an event one night and we'll just invite all customers in the city to drop by, have drinks, talk to us. We'll show them a little bit about the roadmap and the things we're about to build in the future, get feedback and do a Q&A session with them. These events have been incredibly useful and powerful, having our customers mingle with each other, give each other tips. That's been super, super useful. And one thing we're about to try out, something we haven't done yet, is to do customer dinners. So going to a city and inviting a smaller group, but instead of doing a big meetup with tons and tons of folks showing up, you just select, maybe 5 to 10 people and you invite them to dinner and you have 2 hours of a really intimate dinner with them where you can talk about their goals, their challenges, your product, their products, what they're doing, and just establish even more intimate and really in-depth a deep-going relationship. We're going to be trying that out soon. But just spend time with your customers. Visit them. Invite them to parties and events. Go out for dinner with them. It's one of the most powerful things for you to understand your customers better and build the right things for them and succeed. That's a really, really big one.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, whatever you can do to get close to them and do it on a regular basis. I mean, that's just exactly why I started with my question. And I think there's a really simple trick, tip, whatever, that really works, which is like, just think to yourself, how many, whether it's at the beginning of the week or the end of the week, how many customers am I going to talk to this week? Regardless of what part of the team you're on. I think that can be really useful. I know salespeople are doing that all the time, because customer support people are doing it all the time. One of the key, kind of challenges as a company scales that people have is the founders getting further and further away from the customer and relying on team members to stay close to the customer. That's why, like, one thing I've seen really great CEOs do is they, especially when they, like, let's say they take over as CEO of a company, they actually do customer visits in person as part of their onboarding process into the company, so that they can get a really intimate perspective from the customers about kind of what's up with the product and what's going on, and say hi to them.
I love that. Let me ask you this. One thing that we realize is, like, sometimes, you know, you start, as you start building your product, you're serving a specific user. So in our case, we were the first CRM to really focus on the salesperson. So not to build CRM to sell to management, but we were building a CRM to empower the end user, the salesperson, right? And that made us make a lot of decisions very differently from all the other competitors in the market. And that really formed kind of our product philosophy and point of view, and made Closeout what it is and what it was. But as the business grew, one funny thing is, as we started building a success team, as we started taking care of our biggest customers, we kind of fell into, you know, a potential trap of spending more and more time talking to the managers, the admins, the kind of high level decision makers at our customers, and have them be kind of the gatekeeper and the filter through which we were receiving feedback, right? So we would have, you know, in the early days, we would talk to every single user, but as our customers grew and as our business grew, and now we have, you know, a shit ton of customers, we started naturally just getting a point of contact, and that point of contact naturally started being some manager, right, or some higher up person that's not really doing the job of sales. So now, instead of talking to those 40 people that are using the software every single day to close deals, our success team would talk to that, you know, the head of growth or revenue or whatever, who was responsible for managing these people and setting processes in place and all that, but not using the software every day themselves to close deals, to drive revenue. And this was like, this happened in such tiny steps that we really missed it. And we just recently realized, wow, we're now spending a lot more time talking to these kind of gatekeepers than talking to the end users. And we just started thinking about ways for us to reverse that and balance out that trend. I'm just curious to hear about your thoughts on, like, how do you, as your business scales and grows, how do you make sure that even bigger customers, you stay in touch with the end user on an individual level, and not just with some person that, you know, a lot of times these end users, they won't send support tickets, they won't call us, they will be talking to their point person internally, and that point person comes and talks to us. How do you circumvent that to make sure that you don't just get a very filtered version of reality, but you still stay in touch with the end users, which we care a lot about?
That's a great question. So the one way I learned that you can do that is by actually having, I'll start by saying, like, different parts of the company talk to different types of customers. And the part of the company that tends to talk to that end user is the part of the company that needs to worry about that end user experience. So usually it's either customer success, customer support, whatever you want to call it, or product, usually and product. And so if you're doing more user research and actually trying to improve the experience of the product, you're generally going to be talking to end users. And so, you know, if you're a CEO or an executive or somebody in the company who generally doesn't talk to the kind of end user, then you can go to that team and do a user research session with the end user and start learning more about them. So for me, it's like, as a company scales, different parts of the company really start talking to different types of customers. Just like you said, sales talks to prospects. I consider them a customer because they give you a certain perspective. They might be a customer of someone else's product right now, but, you know, they're still a customer and they're still important. And all those different types of customers or different stages that the customer's at, gives you a different perspective. So my short answer is just, like, support and, product tend to talk to that end user a lot more than, sales, let's say.
Right. What else? Is there another tip, another thing that we can think of in terms of, like, how to generate customer insights, how to stay really close to your customer as the team grows? Or is there any other, like, pattern that companies fall into as they start growing, where they start losing touch with their customers, right?
It's almost like you get so busy with operations and the internals of your company that you forget about the externals. Externals being people that are outside your company, those customers. And it's almost like out of a forgetfulness It's almost not out of laziness usually. It's just out of being forgetful about it. So for me, and I know we've talked about this like a bunch, but for me, like, product is everything and the customer has to use the product. And if the product sucks, customer won't use it. And so oftentimes they won't complain about it either. So what I've seen is, like, if you were good at, you know, founders looking at the product and making improvements, if they were engineers or designers or whatever on their own, over time, they have other roles and other jobs, and someone else is either tasked with improving the product, or it's just not getting improved as much just because you got to product market fit, and not you felt like you're done, but you kind of felt like you're done. And that's not the case, right? So to me, it's this forgetfulness that I'm always looking to fight, right? And fight in the perspective of, like, you know, as I said, like, how many customers did you talk to this week? How many are you going to talk to next week? Those kind of just questions in your head, regardless of what part of the company you're in, can be really helpful. Because if you're not talking to at least a few customers every week, you probably don't have a good pulse on what's going on with the customer. And you can look at data and see that there's issues or problems or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's that customer kind of touch, that customer conversation that's really going to have the biggest impact in your learnings about what to do. And so I think it's just a forgetfulness. We all forget at some point that, like, and it's because we get busy with other things. But yet the customer is what matters, because without them, we don't have a business.
I love it. Let's just wrap this episode up on that note. Such a powerful one. All right. Don't have fear of missing out. Have fear of missing touch.
That's right.
Your customers,
I like that.
Right?
Yeah. I like that.
All right. So go and spend time with them, talk to them, listen to them, and then you'll be able to serve them better. And that's going to be the foundation that's going to allow your business to grow and deserve that growth. That's it from us for this episode. We'll hear you very, very soon.
Later.